So you're becoming, and I'm becoming, please God, holistic in my outlook on life. I'm becoming individually universal in my outlook on life. And this is my governing principle that will solve, in the end, the problem of being as it solved it for Jesus. You can see it in the case of Jesus. Jesus, you see, obviously isn't working for himself, he's working universally, individually. And so it's got to be for you and me. The spiritual understanding of life and love as a foretaste of eternity, says the text at that point. Yes, lovely. Like Jesus, therefore, you see what we begin to see, and this is all from the textbook, of course, that we continue to exist in the eternal order of divine science. This is what she says of Jesus. He continues to exist without interruption, see, without any time, interval, or death interval, or mortality interval, continues to exist in the eternal order of divine science, taking away the sins of the world. What's the sins of the world? The belief that you can be wrenched away from the home, the arms of the Father, Mother, God. And so as the Christ, and that's what we saw last time, and the note on which we started last time, as the Lamb of Love. This is the Christ as the Lamb of Love, taking away the sins of the world, as he has always done, says the text, even before the human Jesus was incarnate to mortal eyes. That's to say, before the world was. Before the human Jesus was incarnate to mortal eyes. The glory which I have with thee without interruption, before the world was, is the glory, therefore, that I have with thee now. And Mrs. Eddy then says, this was the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Slain, that is, according to the testimony of the corporeal senses, but undying in the deific mind. That's the truth about you, the truth about me, the truth about him, the truth about her, the truth about mankind, the truth about the world, the truth about the universe. Well, now, we're going to stop now, and to clinch it, I'm just going to read to you this most beautiful of all her poems, as that which applies to this very tone of truth as love. Truth as love opening out to the seventh millennium and love as truth, see. And she calls it the new century, and she wrote it in 1901. Yes. 1901. Marvelous that in 1900, just before she had proclaimed her successor in leadership, that he would reveal it, that generic man would reveal her successor. In other words, her successor is generic man, the truth, the woman, all mankind. And this tone, you see, of truth as love, what has been revealed in the aftermath of her mission, when the two world wars, you see, which should have been the coming of the City of World Peace was the coming of the City of World Peace, because what John Dorley did was to reveal the City of World Peace in its absolute science, in order that it shall take the place of the City of World War. And so this, the new century, thou God crown, look at the womanhood in it, look at the motherhood in it immediately, thou God crowned patient century, that's mother. See, it's the culmination of the whole of the sixth period, isn't it? The sixth period culminating in the 20th century. And that which dominates the sixth period is the Western Christian society, which is itself a symbol of generic man, because to the West is revealed divine science, giving him dominion over all the earth. Thou God-crowned, patient century, thine hour hath come. Thine hour hath come. Eternity draws nigh. That's the seventh millennium. Eternity draws nigh. And beckoning from above, 100 years aflame with love, again shall bid old earth goodbye, and lo the light, far heaven is nigh. That's the seventh millennium. Far heaven is nigh. New themes seraphic. It's beautiful. Very, very rarely does this reference to the seraphic, to the seraphim, appear. Only twice in Mrs. Eddy's writings, only once in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, because they're so vital, these seraphim. Each one has six wings, and it's where you and I individualize the golden candlestick. That the golden candlestick as a symbol is static, you see, but the seraphim are the living expression of that in you, in you, in you, in you, in me. And so, and that's life. New themes seraphic, life divine. That's life. And bliss that wipes the tears of time away will enter when they may and bask in one eternal day. That's the seventh day, the seventh period. Now the symbols. 'Tis writ on earth, on leaf and flower, symbols. What she says of the beauties of nature, that they're the hieroglyphs of God. They're simply the symbols to be translated into the reality that they represent. 'Tis writ on earth, on leaf and flower, love hath one race, one realm, one power. Dear God, how great, how good thou art to heal humanity's sore heart, to probe the wound, then pour the balm, What's the order of it? The wound is being probed and the balm is being poured. To probe the wound, then pour the balm. A life perfected. A life, your life, my life. A life, little L. Perfected, strong and calm. That's the manhood of you and the womanhood of you and the manhood of me and the womanhood of me. The manhood is the strong and the womanhood is the calm. A life perfected, strong and calm. The dark domain of pain and sin surrenders. Love, this is your seventh period, doth enter in. And peace is won. And lost is vice. Right reigns. And blood was not its price. It's the most sublime poem I think she ever wrote. So I think that can be said to clinch what we've done today, possibly, in relation to what we did 4 weeks ago when we concentrated on the Old Testament, and now today we've merged into the New Testament so that the Old Testament and New Testament become one continuous story in relation to the story of civilization itself as one continuous story, because that's what we set out to do, and hopefully to some extent we may have succeeded. Well, that's it then, and so we'll leave it there.